Chapter 5. Downtime.
Skola Psychana Security Incident Report. At 02:15, gamma-level fluctuations were detected in HAB Block Neutral 01. Sensors spiked and bled off slowly. No visible suspects or foot traffic before or after the incident. Possible lethal altercation or the spontaneous emergence of a warp entity. The outer perimeter has been secured. The proctor on call has been notified, requesting a follow-up inspection by the Sisters of the Abyss.
Skola Psychana's sector was a city within a city. Covering 10 square miles at ground level near the center of Psychana Prime, it was as much a prison as it was a place of learning. With the upper sectors of the Hive City towering directly over us, true sunlight was only found in rare spots during the day, but our nights were never fully dark. The Skola grounds were passably lit by its own field of surrounding stars, be they on towers, sky bridges, or service lifts. The helms of roving security guards amplified the minimal light, but I wasn't planning on being seen by anyone. After visiting Whisper to siphon off her day's excess energy and Onyx for a fresh dose of pain, I'd locked up my room, bolting the door from the inside, and settled on the bed. In a few seconds, I dropped into a sleep trance and slipped out of my slumbering form. The first psyker skill I'd ever learned was the ability to separate my astral body from my physical one. The first few times it happened, the separation had been forced upon me, scaring me witless. But once I learned to do it myself, I became addicted to the ability. I'd avoided using the skill with the collar on until I was certain it wouldn't upset the device or violate the rules of Psychana. Beyond that, I also had my own rules about snooping around. I never spied on my friends, family, or those deemed off-limits in the mind of Peric Silver. After downtime, Psychana's rules seemed simple enough. Anything goes as long as you remained within the sector, didn't kill anyone, and didn't spit on Commissar Belling's date. I'd save that last for another time. I moved through my door, checking our hallway, and shot straight up, pausing on the HAB's rooftop to get my bearings. Another skill I'd learned from an entity known as an astral hound was the ability to blend into the energy field surrounding my astral body. It was a form of camouflage that came in handy when there were those that might be able to see my ghost. The habitation facilities of the Psyker first-year recruits were sited over several dense blocks. The Balagem and Killhaven clan HABs were larger, and each held an open central square to make life within them seem less prison-like. I flew over and around every HAB, scouting the rooftops and entrances. The clans had downtime teams of psykers on watch, covering the roof, inner courtyard, and surrounding streets. Not being a member of either clan, I decided to avoid a confrontation where it wasn't necessary. Needing one key piece of information to start my night, I passed high over the Balagum HAB and dove down through the avenue a block away. Emerging in the sector stacked beneath Psychana, I found a far busier city with all the densely laid trappings and transportation of well-worn humanity. Shifting horizontally, I positioned myself directly underneath the Balagum HAB and moved upward. The HAB had a basement and service tunnels below that. None of them were guarded. A few seconds later, I emerged in the middle of their sizable courtyard and stood atop the statue of the indomitable hero, Warmaster Horatio Balagem. By holding perfectly still and blending into the energy of my surroundings, I was nothing more than a shadow to the residents and the watchers that blanketed the place. After a few minutes of scanning the surrounding HAB for any astral forms, it became apparent that Proctor Alicante had been honest about recruits not being taught the methods and madness of astral projection until their second year. That meant my chances of being detected were suitably low. If they remained on Terra, second-year students were allowed comfortable apartments in another zone within the sector, but apprenticeships and advanced training often took them to far more distant and dangerous places in the galaxy. I only had to worry about running into another seer such as Alicante or a Null Sister. Not knowing how rare those might be, I moved to a safer altitude and explored the overall layout of the Skola's sector. A half mile west from the Sanctionite HABs, the main school buildings rose and fell in all sorts of interconnected shapes and sizes, built out around a sizable circular plaza. Within the dense urban landscape, the open area was a rarity. It seemed to reach skyward, allowing for a few rays of the sun to filter down at certain points and times each day. One proctor thought the area was a giant clock if one knew how to read it, but he didn't know anyone that did. A mile west of the Scola's central plaza, the apartments of the proctors and other personnel were arranged in a long and well-guarded neighborhood. Access was controlled. The patrols were plentiful but more discreet, and the eye-gouging guard towers were non-existent. The proctors' hab blocks were taller and had better views of the surrounding hivescape. Still, the view of everyone in Scola Sicana was eventually interrupted by widely scattered support structures and the sector's outer curtain wall. The outer barrier stood hundreds of feet tall, ringing the entire campus and offering an immense permanent foundation for the sectors stacked above it. The Temple of the Ecclesiarchy dominated the northern edge of the sector with its guarded habs and offices. Access to the compound was prohibited without an escort and a note from the dean or whoever was standing in for him that day. The commissar and his leather-clad Sisters of Nullification resided within this safe zone. Okay, I didn't know exactly what they called themselves, but a few choice words sprang. Suddenly, I was rocketed back into my body. Locadio Rink's ethereal form shimmered at the foot of my bed.
Hello, Dregs. Lucky meeting you here.
Feth! I tried to reply, but my physical form seemed unwilling or unable to heed my intentions. I was present within it, but somehow cut off. A thread of energy snaked from Rink to my sanctionite collar. The device was bathed in a sickly yellow glow, and a ghostly pattern circled my head like a golden crown. A gush of warp-tainted energy cascaded down the link, powering the spell and overwhelming my soul's connection to my body.
Having trouble?
Said Rink.
Don't worry. Once you've answered a few simple questions, I'll be on my way.
I shouted in my mind, Feth off, and pushed the thought outward. The cage seemed to capture most of the energy, steering it back into my collar. Rink felt the sentiment and took a half step back.
You're awfully determined, but it won't help. Tell me your name.
Silver escaped my lips before I realized it.
That's a pretty name. Tell me your family name.
Silver, I drawled, ignoring the astral visitor with the part of my mind that still belonged to me. Studying the cage's pattern, I followed the pulses of energy that streamed down the line with each word that Rink seemed to utter. Another cord connected the man's astral form to a body located elsewhere. The golden thread ran out through the plascrete wall in a northerly direction, back toward the other neutral habs. The unwanted presence was a powerful illusion, weaving energy and visible light, guided by seemingly immense telepathic abilities. While Dawn could project her voice, Rink could project an astral image of himself and channel devious spells through it, as though he were standing in the room. Rink was rated Gamma Prime and about an order of magnitude higher on the Psyker scale than yours truly. He channeled an overabundance of energy from the warp, and I figured that was what had eroded his common sense. Following that thought, I heard myself answer yet another question. Peric.
Tell me your secret,
he prodded. As Rink spoke, I began to fight back. I pulled on the line, taking ownership of the golden energy as it flowed into my collar. Failing to understand its pattern, I tore it apart and shunted the raw energy into my nearby glaive, starving the compulsion spell of its power. Which one? I replied. That seemed to catch him off guard. He was too focused, driving his own spells, to notice my coming jailbreak. He nudged me again.
Tell me, have you killed anyone?
I turned my focus onto the ties that bound his cage to my collar and my being, weakening the uninvited spell even further. Yes, haven't you? He smiled as only a voyeur would, saying,
Of course, tell me. How many?
No, you first. Siphoning off the last of the cage's hooks, I sat up bodily and tossed the remains of the spell back into Rink's glowing face. In his confusion, he flinched and almost flickered out of existence. I made a withdrawal from the power glaive in the corner, dousing the ethereal form of Locadio Rink with a shower of raw, silver-tainted warp energy and freshly collected pain. In whisper, I had a Gamma Prime Psyker feeding me her excess supply, along with a chorus of pissed-off nerve endings from Onyx. Each was a donor to my cause. The mixture exploded like hellfire around Rink's ethereal form, and he screamed, losing all control. I'd experienced that unreal pain during my nascent Psyker life on Fulcrum 4, and knew it would have a regrettable effect on his physical body, too. Rink's astral body disintegrated as he lost control of the projection spell. Vaulting out of bed, I collected the abandoned dark energy and routed it back into my glaive. My physical body dropped to the floor as I let go of it and shot through the wall, hoping to follow the disappearing thread home to its owner. 2 blocks over, a neutral hab block had its own Sanctionite guards patrolling the rooftops. I whisked past the watchers, stealing enough energy from each to knock them out cold, and dove down into the hallways below. Rink wasn't hard to find. 5 Sanctionites, all young men, chatted outside a hab suite door. In my mind, each was assigned a color as I sampled the unique energy of their beings and slipped past them into the room. Rink was there, unmoving on the bed. I emitted a primal shriek, pushing a huge blast of dark energy outward in all directions and setting off alarms in the distance. Early on in my unsanctioned psyker life, I'd learned the art of sensing and moving energy. It was one of my most basic talents, and it served me well in either my physical or astral form. Moving energy was simple, direct, and quickly to the point. Spells or curses were complex and took real thought to apply. I'd spent enough time in an underhive on Fulcrum 4 to know that the first strike was often the winner in any exchange. For a backup attack, I'd also learned how to roar. Nothing about it was fair. Rink and his crew outside the door weren't prepared for the psychic attack. None were conscious as I left. Hoping they would enjoy the hangover, I didn't linger. I dove straight down, cutting through the sector below Psychana, and found my way back up into the dining hall of Neutral 02. The basement was empty, the rooftop too. I reclaimed my body, and the marks on each of my shoulders seemed to ache. I took that as a good sign. My power glaive glowed with an unreal silvery white color as I dumped the night's excess energy into it. I had my own color to go by, the basis of my given name. It was a minute past 0300. Being too wired to relax, I went back downstairs for a snack. Cold and tasteless, Locadio Rink had been given a heated warning, and I wondered if he enjoyed his meal as much as I. He'd gotten little in terms of information, nothing I wouldn't have traded in polite conversation. I'd gotten far more out of him. I'd known he could project himself and suspected that he could mess with the collars, but I hadn't known that he could compel others to follow his will. He was a twisted telepath, bent on domination rather than survival, and while he seemed to rejoice in his conquests, Rink used other first years as guards and ran from threats like a bully. Our conversation may have been short, but it fit the exchange that followed. My gang experiences taught me to go in fast and hit my target with everything I had. Given a chance, an enemy would certainly do the same to you. I'd also learned that standing in almost every environment was earned. Pecking orders were important. A boss's job was to make sure that a challenge to one's place in line was the last resort and weighted heavily in one's favor. All psychers channel warp energy, but each has their own mind, a uniquely tinted soul, and a different way of expressing it. As an example, pyromancers convert their energy into heat, driving a devious, sustained chemical reaction. Others explode with well-aimed bolts of concentrated electricity or coax healing energy through the cells of another. The exact type of energy produced is unique to each psyker, and scientists claimed it had everything to do with the genetic signature of the individual. As far as I knew, no one had been able to genetically alter the inborn skills of a psyker. As a silver-colored parasite, I consumed warp energy in whatever color was at hand. I could also convert it into my own flavor, a raging alien vibration in a frequency that ran counter to another's existence. The power was sentient and functioned of its own accord, but its will was weak. It was eager to show off its design, and a mindful invitation was enough to move it wherever I wanted it to go. The simple movement of raw energy was the quickest and most effective method for a straight-up fight. No complex spells were needed. I wouldn't always get in the first shot, but I was planning ahead and hoping to learn how to handle things when they went sideways. In that regard alone, Scola Psychana seemed like the perfect place. Once freed of Rink's compulsion mask, my reaction had been instantaneous and resolute, spoiling any response from the far more powerful psyker. While he was fumbling for his next psychic spell, I was stealing away all the energy on my end of the line and blasting a dose of silver fire straight back at him, taking his astral projection apart. In my previous life as a boss of the Hydra Secundus Underhive on Fulcrum 4, I'd taken down a rival gang during a standoff that threatened the lives of four undercover agents of the local Adeptus Arbitus. I'd stolen the thugs' lives by pirating energy away from their hearts, dropping them all in an instant. By killing 12, I'd saved 4. 8 more souls in Psychana Class 1137 Lima slept safely upstairs, while I enjoyed a late-night mineral water on a bench bolted to the floor. As prisons go, I could do worse. I pondered the wisdom of leaving Locadio Rink alive. Contrary to Helix's point of view, I wasn't a murderer or a psychopath, but I could do the math, and 13 had always been an unlucky number. I'd be sleeping with one eye open from now on.